I hope it is a good morning to you in this morning to celebrate the presence of God with the brothers and sisters in Christ in this church. And today is the last final day of the sermon series on God's Not Dead. And also today is the last day of a preaching day for me at our Redeemer's United Methodist Church. Many of you know that as I'm on my way back to California. And so I just wanted to give you a heads up that today is my last day to preaching at the pulpit levels in here. And also today is the day of a Pentecost. Pentecost means the birthday of the church. And I'm not so sure how many of you already knew about the Pentecost is the birthday of the church. Raise your hand. All right, those people who rose their hand, where's the birthday gift for the church? Probably your presence is the birthday gift for the Lord in this morning. All those who came to church today presented yourself, your being to the Lord as a birthday gift to the church. I am praising you. There is a great confusion and a diversification of the opinion when we come to understand the Pentecost event. And the Pentecost event, and it is so amazing. And many people ask, what happened? What happened? In the second chapter of the book of Acts, we read about the beginning of the church. It goes like this. When the day of the Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of the violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Have you ever question about this event you oftentimes read in the Bible? At least once a year on the Pentecost Sunday, we read the scripture. All of a sudden, the fire of the tongue came and it separated. And all of a sudden, people in gathering places, they speak different languages and they hear and understand each other. That is amazing. And then when I came to United States, this is the Pentecost event I would like to have right away. Because I do not understand what people were saying because I do not have a capability. People say a lot of things, but I have no idea. That is the event of the Babel, Tower of Babel in Old Testament. In relation to the language, in the Bible, we have two events. Tower of Babel in Genesis, and also the tongue, the Holy Spirit, Pentecostal language, and understanding in Acts chapter 2, the New Testament. When the language got separate, before the language got diversified in all of the places, in Genesis, all people were together and worshiping the Lord in one same language. They praising God, and yet somehow the egoistic agenda coming out of them, and then somehow they decided to build the Tower of Babel to be like Christ, to be like God, and become higher like God. And God did not happy with those. So God separate, confuse the language at the Tower of Babel. They start to speak many different languages at that moment, and they do not understand. When we're coming back to the New Testament, and the people speak their language commonly, Galileans, because those people who are up in the upper room, they spoke the same language. They were the fishermen. And then they got together because God told them to get together and pray and fervently pray to receive the Holy Spirit. So they just blindly obeyed and got together and prayed. And the Spirit came to them and they start to speak the different languages like the Tower of Babel. But not like in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, when the Holy Spirit landed upon them, rested upon them, they start to speak a different language, and yet they do understand each other. They did not take this French 101. They did not take the English 101. They did not take a Japanese 101. They did not take any courses. They were simply fishers of men. By calling through the Holy Spirit. They were together and they were uneducated. And yet because of the Spirit, they start to talk in different language and they start to understand. That is the essence of the church, beginning of the church. Then what happened in the 21st century in the church? We imposing people to speak the same language, and yet we speak the same language we do not understand. Do you see it? Have you ever attended a church meeting? They speak pretty much the same language, it sounds like, but there were so many misunderstandings. They do not get the point. What happened from the beginning of the church, Acts chapter 2, and now? Acts chapter 2, they started to speak in a different language, but they understood each other. That is the essence of the church together. And then I'm just throwing the questions at you so you and I can think through together. That was a struggling in the 21st century, we as a church. And then I'm questioning in here. Surely, as time goes by, I've been educated in here and I learned how to speak and read and write and in English so I can communicate. And yet, people speaking English the same things, but they do not understand. There were so many layers of understanding of other people. But what happened? Acts chapter 2. I'm questioning. You guys have a question about the church, how to govern in the body of Christ, how to pull the people together for ministry? Do you have a question? If you have, raise your hand. Oh, nobody wants to question it? Oh my God, I'm the only one? Okay, I'm preaching at myself today because I have so many questions. Why we do what we do? And a skeptical mind is honestly challenging what we do, why we do. Have you questioned about your life, why you do what you do, instead of doing because I have done this way all the time? Skepticism is about what is not true that leads us to the conviction about what is actually true. We oftentimes having someone to question on something is challenging, but it is not challenging. Some people have a pure intention and motivation to get to know. And a skeptical mean is they have a question. From the birth, to be honest, I am having so many questions. Oftentimes, my mom said, "Shut up." And whenever I'm watching the TV, why do they do that kind of things? Shut up! Because I have questioning. When the rocket was shooted to the up in the air, and I asked my mom, how do they do that? Shut up! So usually whenever I have a question, I bring that question to the school, and I ask a teacher, why do they do? Why 1 + 1 is 2? Why not a 3 or 4? That's the rule. Why? And I have so many questions. Why and why? And they said, just accept that. When you grow up, you will know. But still, I do not know why. But it is the rule of the life, I believe. I'm still questioning. Having question on certain thing is not a sin. Especially in a Methodist church, we are encouraging people to be a thinking Christian, reasoning Christian. Not a chicken, I'm a headless chicken person, just get busy because you have to get busy in the church. We are encouraging people to think through, bring your thinking cap on, think through whatever you are hearing, whatever you are seeing, whatever you are experiencing, so you can have a personal relationship with the Lord. Instead of following God, following faith, whatever people are following for the sake of believing. think through, personalize whatever you are experiencing in this church, in your journey. Personalize it. So if you describe yourself as a skeptic like me with so many questions, so far I'm the only one skeptical in here, but I'm sure that there are silent skeptics out here. So please join with me. I am warmly welcome you to the conversation. I invite honest mind, skeptical mind, honest mind, skeptical minds to join me in a pursuit of the truth in this morning. For those who are not, sit back and relax, because I would like to question together with you to personalize this Jesus we are talking about in this church and wherever we go in the Christian community. Sometimes we who believe and have a strong conviction in Jesus Christ can unintentionally convey the wrong attitude toward the skepticism. I am one of the victims of that too, so-called, because I have so many questions. Whenever I question something, people think that I am challenging their authority, challenging and whatever the integrity they are bringing. I had no intention to it. I purely have no idea what they were talking about. Purely, I would like to know so I can understand, I can support. And I am pretty much a reasoning person without understanding. It is hard to follow. And I am daring to challenge you to question on stuff, whatever you are dealing with in your life. Instead, blindly accept the reality around you. There is amazing gospel around you when you start to question and explore and advance with the Holy Spirit in your life. Remember, all of us are skeptic in some way. Even though many of you didn't say that you have a question on your faith in God and in Jesus Christ, I'm sure that you have questions. Sometimes, whatever question you have, I do believe that you are questioning because you have a brain in this small skull. That skull, inside the brain, that skull, there is a brain. It is created to think and question and reason. God created a reasoning mind. If we are having a reasoning mind through Christ, that means that we are skeptical in Christ. Now let's look at one of the greatest skeptics in the New Testament, Doubting Thomas. According to this John 20, verse 24-25, it said like this, Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with the other disciple when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hand the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nail, and put my hands into his side, I will not believe. Unless I have a personal experience, I will not believe." That's what he was simply saying. Let's meet Thomas in this morning. One of the greatest questioner of all. A man who had to have a proof. He is sometimes unfairly treated because 10 witnesses testified to seeing a risen Jesus, but he will not believe them unless he has a solid evidence. He wants to be certain and taking no one's word for it. But when Jesus appears again and allows Thomas to touch his wound, he surprisingly does not chastise him for doubting. Skepticism is not only healthy, but also worthwhile. Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands. And reach here your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord, my God." Thomas is a man who must be convinced. No one wants to go along with the crowd because people believe for the believing sake. My friend goes to church. I just go because I love to go with my friend. And I just wake up because my back hurt in the bed. I need to wake up in the morning. What am I going to do this morning? Well, I need to go to work because I needed to earn the table money for my family. Without thinking. We all want us to have a positive and know whatever truth out there. If we are serious about our lives, we all, apparently Thomas, know that Thomas is surely has a faith in Christ by looking at his death at the end of his life, by giving up his life for Christ because he believed. And in the movie, God's Not Dead, Josh, the son, the student, does not give up his life for his faith. But he gave a lot of things for his faith. You can see it. When talking about our faith with the skeptics, there is the most important things we should always keep it in mind. Our attitude. Our attitude tells more stories than our word. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 says, "The goal of our instruction is love for a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 said, "Sanctify Christ as the Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." What are the three things that we were told not to talk about in public? Do you know? Politics, sex, and religion, right? Those are the taboo we should not talk about in public. But well, the Bible said that we needed to talk about religion, talk about faith. That is our essence of being the disciples of Jesus Christ, witnessing, sharing the story of our journey with the Lord and with others. That is our call as the disciples of Jesus Christ. But is the public or cultural norm saying that you should not talk about faith? You should not talk about your faith at work. You should not talk about your faith at school. Pull out God from there. Separation of the church and state. In your voting power, you are still exercising Christian value there. How can you not talk about and practice who you are? How can you separate that? Once you are Christian, you are Christian through the baptism of the Spirit, through Jesus Christ. As a famous football coach once said, when asked about his team's poor play, "How do you feel about their execution?" He replied immediately, "I'm all for it." What kind of question is that? What kind of response is that? This is somewhat humorous, okay? But we do not want to have the label as a Christian, do we? Poor execution, poor practice of a Christian faith. And if someone asks you, "How do you feel about the poor practice of the Christian value in your walk, in your interaction with others?" Would you be willing to say, "I'm all for it"? We wanted to represent Christ properly to skeptics and others as equal in a humble search for the big answers to life. Yes, discussing sensitive topics can lead us an ugly argument if we are not careful. As a believers, our goal is to love the person, not just win argument. The goal of our instruction, is love. As we see in the father's reaction in the prodigal son in Gospel Luke chapter 15 and 20, "So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. If we do not have that kind of a desperate compassion, scanning the road every day as the father did, longing for his sons to return, we do not really get what Jesus was conveying here about God's love for others. It's critical that we are being gentle, filled with the Holy Spirit when discussing our faith, when we talk about faith, when we share in faith. Be gentle and filled with the Holy Spirit through prayer. No one likes a person who knows everything, even though they feel that they know everything. No one knows everything. But someone has that attitude. Nobody wanted to hang around those people who knows everything. And then it's critical that we are gracious in sharing the gospel, especially when we may have to tactfully point out biblical differences about God. If our goal is to be right, to win the debate, or show how much we know, then we already lost the person. We don't want to win the battle over the minor points regarding of the evolution or creation or the other subjects and lose the battle to love them. So let's remember, the goal of our instruction or sharing faith is love. Love the person. In the movie God's Not Dead, one of the loudest critics is Professor Redison. He is opposing Josh, the student, but Josh does a good job of restraining his emotion and stay pretty in an even tempo. We discover later on that the professor has some deep pain that driving his anti-God crusade. And that can be a pretty typical scenario in a hurting and broken world. A lot of people have some toxic waste or pain or that hurt from their past that is bubbling near to the surface. We need to be sensitive to their unseen hurt and compassionate like the prodigal's father. There may be an alcoholic parent. Maybe there was death in their family. Maybe someone is kind of someone has a personal injury or trauma or abuse, maybe even from a church. If we knew the pain people are going through, what people are having it, we'd probably be more compassionate with how they arrive at this point in their lives. That is one of the hard things I am carrying in ministry. People do not know each other. They do worship together on Sunday, but they do not know each other. The deep pain people are carrying. And then people casually say the things without knowing what kind of things they are carrying. They hurt me, to be honest, and they really bothering me and burdening me. I wish we can be more careful sharing the word of God and saying the right things by compassionate about other people's and I'm sensitive about the pain and the struggle other people are carrying on. Be careful to lovingly answer their question as Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:25, with gentleness, correcting those who are in a position. If perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. So remember, sometimes more agnosticism means more pain. So more compassion is needed. For those people who are loudly speaking about their own agenda in a public setting, they might carry amazing pain to get the attention of other people. When babies need something, they cry. Right? the parents, you know that, right? If babies are in good condition, they are silently just smiling, just giggling. But when babies are in need of something, they do cry out to get the attention of the parent, to get the attention of the caregivers. Oh, somebody's in here. Mama took care of that. So be pay attention to the people around you. Let's look at the scene from God's Not Dead, where Willie and his wife graciously take some pretty snot remarks and still manage to love Amy. Let us watch the video clip.
Why do you wear those heels?
What's wrong with them?
You're too tall. You're taller than me.
Enough to handle it.
Just saying, I don't want to be the short guy at the prom.
Mr. Robertson. Hi, or should I call you Willie?
You can call me Willie.
Amy Ryan, I vlogged the new lap. Can I ask you a few questions?
Yeah, sure, fire away. This is my wife, Corey.
Hi.
I know. I'm actually surprised to see you here. I thought you'd be home, barefoot and pregnant.
I haven't been barefoot and pregnant in a really long time. I do kind of miss those days.
Yeah. You want to start again? We can try.
No.
You've made a fortune selling devices that are designed to lure waterfowl to their death.
I guess when you say you, you're referring to the whole group of my family, which will be y'all. You can just change it to y'all. That'd be an easier expression. That way it'll get everybody in there.
So y'all have made a fortune. Isn't that right?
We're doing all right. We can certainly buy bigger tires on our trucks and four-wheelers to get out in the mud with, so life is good.
What makes you think you have the moral right to go around maiming and killing innocent animals?
Hey, look, let's just get one thing straight. I ain't maiming nothing. Whatever I see and I aim at, I shoot. When I shoot it, I kill it, and then I eat it.
So you do kill those ducks?
Of course I do. What we're going to do, cook them while they're still moving around? That would be cruel.
That'd be bad.
So this isn't an act. You're actually proud of what you do.
Of course I am. Why would I do it if I'm not proud of it?
And you go along with everything he says?
We've been married for 20 years. I don't go along with everything he says. But on the things that matter, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly.
So what do you say to people who are offended by your show, not just because of the hunting, but because you openly pray to Jesus in every episode?
Hey, we're not trying to offend anybody, all right? If they don't want to watch the show, they can turn the channel. As far as my praying to Jesus, my life and my whole eternity belongs to God. All this stuff, temporary. Money, fame, success, temporary. Even life is temporary. Jesus, that's eternal. Jesus said this, whoever acknowledges me before men, he will acknowledge before the Father in heaven. Whoever disowns me, I'll disown him to the Father. Now those words are written in red, so they're important.
And that's it?
That's it. That's what we're going with. Pretty simple, isn't it?
Thanks for your time.
Come on, let's go do some acknowledging.
All right.
You're welcome to join us.
No, thanks. I'm good.
Good?
Thank you.
All right. Who was that lady?
So y'all got the point, right? And then the Willie's way of interacting with Amy with so many questions is the best example for us how to interact with those people who have many questions. So-called, we label, skeptical. That is the best way, with the love and care. As a believer, our goal is to love the person, not to win the argument. Let's clarify this goal when we are interacting with others. Our goal is to love the person, not win the argument. May our love for the people around us bring those people around us to Christ closer because of the loving relationship you promised.